Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I'm your host, Joe. Joining as usual, we've got Jacob, we've got Aki, and we've got Bree. How are the three of you doing?
Great. I'm much cooler now that I have a portable AC on in the background. I've got techs coming to hopefully solve my bigger AC problem tomorrow, so pretty excited about that.
Sounds like cause to celebrate.
Yay!
God.
That clip isn't long enough. I'm doing good. I've completed so many games this week, and I feel pretty accomplished. I decided to start working through lots of the Play Later games that I've saved on Game Pass, and I've beaten like five of them, and I'm really happy. Have another 16 left to go.
Only.
Yeah.
I don't think I could ever even put a dent in my backlog at this point.
I'm never going to finish my backlog, but my Game Pass backlog, that's different. I can do that.
See, I'm waiting until I'm starting to collect Social Security and like I've retired, provided Social Security is even still around.
It won't.
Because I figure by then, I mean, that's like a solid, like what? I'm 39. So that means like I've got like a solid 25 more years of this podcast before I retire. And then once I retire from everything, I'll just start playing my Xbox backlog then, and then probably die the next day. So, you know, leaving 15,000 games untouched.
Yeah, it's a good plan.
Thank you. Thank you. I put about 5 seconds of thought into it.
We could tell. I usually have a Game Pass backlog, but it turns into normal backlog because it'll hit the end of its Game Pass life and I'll just buy it on sale and then it goes in the backlog.
You know, there's a quicker way of saying I'm a consumer whore.
Yeah, I know. It's I'm a consumer whore.
There you go.
As long as you acknowledge and understand it, you're fine.
Hooray, consumer whore!
Yay. Damn it.
We're just celebrating a lot today. This works.
Let's do it. Should I go get some drinks?
Yes. We have a new button to apologize on our wrestling soundboard. So, Jacob.
I'm so sorry!
Who is that?
Kazuchika Okada, one of the greatest wrestlers on the planet. And he is doing comedy bits. It is amazing.
Wait, what's his name?
Kazuchika Okada.
Oh, I don't know that name.
Well,
shut up, bitches.
Like, is he recent or is he older?
He's from New Japan, and he's now in AEW.
Okay, all right. So he's kind of recent.
He's not from the '80s WWF that you would know.
Well, no. I was thinking over in Japan, the guy who went by Razor Ramon also called himself Hard Gay. And, like, his whole shtick was that he was in, like, hot, like, leather hot pants and, like, a studded leather jacket. And he'd bang his crotch into his opponent's face.
Right in his asshole.
So... If you want to look up Hard Gay on YouTube later on,
that's one of those phrases you probably shouldn't.
If you're willing to, you know, completely destroy your algorithm, along with your b-hole, you can look that up.
I found Jacob's entrance music.
Fucking fantastic.
I mean, at least it's not Marlins Will Soar, so it's I mean, anything's pretty much better than that, so I'm game.
Don't make me play that again this show, Jacob.
Does Hard Gay even still wrestle anymore?
I don't know. I was a big fan of his comedy back in like 2006, 2007-ish.
Yeah.
And he kind of just seems to have fallen off the face of the earth like 3 years later. So he got married and I think he just stopped doing it. So
that's a shame.
Yeah. His stuff was pretty damn funny. Like, go yeah, look he up was the, great. The noodle shop. And, when he got to, go to the Yahoo Japan headquarters were good.
If you're looking for comedy matches, I got to throw out Invisible Man versus Invisible Stan. It is a hardcore match between two invisible wrestlers, and the story is told entirely by the referee Bryce Remsburg, and it is incredible. Fantastic. It is one of the funniest anythings I've ever watched. It is just so well done, and to think that they just, it's goofing around to them.
The greatest match you've never seen.
Yeah.
Basically.
That is awesome.
So what other non-wrestling stuff have people been up to?
I got some new Gunpla.
Yeah, let's not talk about that.
Fair.
Anything else?
Cooks for a medieval feast that's coming up that my friend is in charge of. And nice. So we had some really good, we're doing Roman food.
Ooh. So
like, yeah, really old school stuff there. But yeah, we did some test cooks with some it's a type of broccoli called broccoli rub. And did some sauce for that and grilled up some chicken with some sauce that they all use like a fish sauce called garum, which was like a high content salt.
That's garum, that's that's Indian, isn't it?
No, not necessarily, but there are a lot of similarities across different cultures. So,
okay, because I was going to say, like, I've had that before, and that's tasty as shit.
But yeah, so did a little test cook, did some, like, beans with sumac and cilantro, and just did some good test food.
Did it taste like soap?
No, I don't have that gene.
Lucky.
Yeah, I love cilantro. I have the leftovers in my fridge. I've been eating in my salads.
I don't have the mutation either. I just like, I feel like it's weird. I feel bad for people that do have that.
Yeah, the soapweed effect. Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So if you've ever eaten cilantro, it's a little green leaf. It kind of looks like parsley. And some people have a gene mutation that causes it to taste like soap.
Interesting.
I've heard of that. That's weird.
We learn some weird shit on this show sometimes. We're
educational.
I should label us as educational on YouTube. Put us new heading. We're not entertainment. We are educational.
There you go.
We are edutainment.
This show is for the children.
Absolutely.
I mean, to be fair, we're always educational because we're reviewing video games. We're telling people about things they haven't played.
Well, no, I mean, that's opinionated.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, we give a lot of news.
Actual.
We give a lot of news.
We do.
But I'm not ready for that because I have a story to tell this week.
Uh-oh.
I went to go see Ryan Niemöller.
Yay!
Went down to Hanover, PA, hung out with him in a video game store for a while.
Which one?
Alt Video Games in Hanover.
Oh, I'm not familiar with it. You're just an hour away from me and, you know, didn't even know.
You fucking knew. I told you to go to the show, but you couldn't.
My bank account at the time was like negative 400, you know.
Ooh, that's no bueno.
Well, you know, I'm currently unemployed, so, you know.
Gotta hit the corner, Jacob. Give those hands.
Unfortunately, carpal tunnel is not helping.
Just go outside, stand on your door, and say...
Fall into the abyss of my gaping butthole.
And see what happens.
Sell admission for $1 a person.
As if on cue, injury just subbed. The sound effect timing was wonderful. Injury, thank you so much for the sub. That is your eighth month. I don't know why our proper sound effects aren't going off. So let me just
fucking yeah.
Thank you so much. Always love having you here. Continue to enjoy the emote selection that I have provided for all the people weird enough to sub to this weird stuff. So where was I in the story?
You were hanging out with Ryan in a video game store and then had hot and heavy sex in the motel.
Oh, and then you asked what the video game store was, and then we were like, oh, yeah, fall into this of your ass. We hung out in an arcade. They have the Timeline Arcade there. This, like, imagine my room with about 40 video game arcade machines in it.
Jesus.
That's what it was. It was so cramped, but it was still playable. Like you could play at a pinball table and not feel like you were being cramped. They even had like a Sonic the Hedgehog basketball game.
Nice.
Like with the real basketballs that you're throwing in the hoop. It was fun. It was like $10 for an hour to play as much as you wanted.
That's pretty cool.
Kicked Ashley's ass at air hockey. 7-2.
Yeah.
Yeah, buddy. and then we saw Ryan earlier before there. We went to a little antique store, Jacob, you might know the Black Diamond in the Frackville Mall. Do you remember that?
No, I've never been there.
No. Well, it's basically just like an open flea market in a building. They have everything just on shelves. You take it up to the counter and get whatever you want. But I was looking around. They had a Behringer audio mixer for $35. Like, wow. My audio mixer's been giving me shit. It's been dropping audio. It happened, what, 2 shows ago? In the middle of one of Bree's reviews? Yeah. The audio dropped. So we pick this up. I bring it home. I plug my mic in, put my headphones on, and I only hear myself on the left. I start fiddling with settings. I start tweaking knobs, pushing buttons. Still on the left. I go into my Windows settings. I check the microphone. There is only 2-channel audio. There is no mono single channel selection. I go online. I start looking up solutions to this. People say you have to download the old firmware for the system. So I did that, installed it. Finally gave me the 1-channel option. It didn't work. Still only out of the left. Yeah, so I have a brand new mixer that doesn't work for me.
Aww.
So what are you going to do?
Well, I'm going to try reselling it because it's apparently a $100 mixer. So if I could get like $50 out of it, $20 profit, I'll take it.
Yeah.
But
YOLO.
It doesn't work, though.
No, it works exactly as it's intended to. And that's the problem. It was sold as like I don't know. I don't have the box for it, but that is this specific model. I'm not going to drive 2.5 hours to return a $30 mixer.
Oh, I thought you said it was from, sorry, I misunderstood. I thought you were saying it came from the place in the Frackville Mall. My bad.
No. That was just the Frackville Mall doesn't even exist anymore. They tore it down.
I was there once. But I didn't even go into the friggin' mall because there was there was a store that was like attached to the front of it, and I don't remember was it a Kmart or something? Yeah, I went into the Kmart and that was all I went into. I didn't even go to the rest of the fucking mall.
Wow. I missed the arcade, it was like right around the corner.
Yeah.
But it doesn't exist anymore. They tore it down to put like a Bath and Body Works warehouse there, and then Bath and Body Works like went out of business or some shit.
Yikes.
One of those businesses, I don't know, whoever it was. But yeah, I have a mixer. I'm gonna try getting rid of it and gonna look for a new mixer, and hopefully it lasts through the whole show without kidding.
I was gonna say, like, that actually would have been pretty damn funny if that actually had been.
I know, right?
But I was waiting to see how long it would take for Jacob to come back on, and I'm like,
Oh, man. So anyone else have anything you want to talk about, or should we get to news?
Let's get to news.
All right. The big news of the week. Elden Ring, Shadow of the Erdtree. Kind of blowing up.
Yeah.
Shocking no one.
Yeah.
Everyone knew that was going to do well.
First week, five million units sold.
Jesus Christ.
Five million.
That's more than just five.
Yeah, it is significantly more than five. That's like
a million times it almost.
That's more than a Humrid.
Yeah.
Like a whole Humrid.
I think it's kind of funny because they've apparently nerfed some of the game since then as well to make it a little easier for people because it was apparently way too hard.
That's what I heard as well.
I don't
know what all they did because apparently they didn't make any of the bosses any easier. So they did something to the character instead. I just don't know what because obviously I've never played the game. But yeah, it's funny.
Now it is popular, so... Congrats to From Software. On the downside, apparently From Software's parent company, Kadokawa Games, was the victim of a cyber attack.
Ooh.
Did they get anything, though?
We don't know. Thimber posted a link to a news bit like 10 minutes before you went live about this. So I didn't even have a chance to really sit and read all of it. I saw that From Software was not named as being affected.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So, fingers crossed it stays that way. Some more bad news is the PlayStation Plus lineup for July. That's kind of mean, but then you'll hear the three games and you'll be like,
let's do this. Let's hurt my feelings.
They start off with one that sounds good, but it was already part of PS Plus Extra. Borderlands 3.
Okay.
It was already available. Okay. But now you get to keep it.
For the handful of people who don't already own it, how old is that game at this point?
Second game, NHL 24.
Meh.
Cool. So they have like another 6 months to play it before its servers go offline, I assume.
Third game, Among Us. What is that? A $5 game?
Yeah,
I didn't even realize that cost money. I thought that was a free-to-play game.
Yeah, so that is their month of PlayStation Plus.
We shit on Xbox about their list sometimes, but...
Man, that is a horrible list. They've been crushing it with their monthly editions, like the game catalog editions.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll wait until... middle of July, we'll see what comes along there. I'm sure we'll have a good lineup there. But yeah, the free monthly games are just bad.
Yeah, bad. Definitely not. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, more bad news. Forza Horizon 4 will be delisted completely December 15th of this year. All DLC is presently delisted for individual sale, but the Ultimate Edition is still buyable. August 22nd will mark the end of their final live playlist of Series 77, and four achievements will be unobtainable after that date. So if you want to play and get all the achievements, you better hurry up.
Yeah, I just started playing.
Yeah.
I don't know which of those online ones I need and which I don't, and if they're even worth trying to get.
I mean, like, the game makes you start with the campaign stuff, so, like, before it'll even let you play around to, like, online, so, get cracking.
Yeah, so you know what the hell you're doing. You don't want to just start a game and immediately be online.
Yeah,
but... that would be awful. Oh my god, think of all the drivers who've never played a racing game before, just, like, dropping into a lobby with a bunch of other people who've never driven before.
Yeah, it's crashing. Hot Wheels Unleashed.
Wreckfest Destruction Derby.
Yes.
But yeah, Forza Horizon 4 is going away. It is obviously also going to be leaving Game Pass. So yeah. For the people who said games are on Game Pass forever, nothing lasts forever.
Yeah.
A Atari announced they are expanding the Atari 50th anniversary release with 39 new games.
Wow. Dang.
Yeah, it's going to be an expanded retail release. It's going to have a Steelbook Special Edition on the Switch, physical release on the PS5, digital release on all platforms, including the Atari VCS. Current owners will be able to buy the new content as DLC, but no word on pricing has been announced yet. Or I don't know if the new one's going to be a separate achievement stack, or if it's just going to be DLC achievements. Who knows? But 39 new games is not fucking cool. Around.
Yeah, I'd be curious to. I'm going to look up the list and see if they have it somewhere.
I don't think they have the list out yet.
Yeah,
and I've been keeping an eye on my emails with that, and I haven't seen a list yet. They're doing two new timelines, 19 games on one, 20 games on the other.
Fingers crossed E.T. is one of them.
Oh, Jesus. Glenn Case would shit his pants if E.T. were on there. Atari's Infogrames label has purchased Surgeon Simulator franchise from Tiny Build. So interesting little transaction there. Disney's Epic Mickey Rebrushed got a release date. It'll be coming out September 24th, priced at $59.99. Digital pre-orders will get the game a day early. And there's a collector's edition.
Of course there is, and it's $200.
What's the likelihood that we can get that for review?
I have no clue, but you asked, so you're at the bottom of the list.
I'm usually at the bottom of the list. It's fine.
That's the Jacob rule. You ask on the show, you get it last.
I didn't ask for it. I asked what the likelihood of us getting it was. Because I wasn't even going to ask for it if you're like, we're never going to get that. Because it's a Disney game. I have no idea
my youngest
if we have anything for that.
My youngest is actually pretty psyched for this. He's fascinated by Oswald the Lucky Rabbit. Because, well, I mean, because he's this like black and white cartoon character that never made the jump to, you know, regular stuff. And then he shows up in Disney Dreamlight Valley, which is where my kids first saw him.
Okay. I was wondering how your kid even knew about a character.
And then, but they also saw that I have Epic Mickey 2 for Xbox. And so, like, they've been asking like a bunch of questions, and they've watched some of the cartoons. But unfortunately, I don't have a Wii, so we couldn't play the original Epic Mickey. And then boom, like Disney literally just announced this like 2 weeks later.
Nice.
Very nice.
So I'm excited, and they are too.
Yay.
Good talk.
I'm kind of excited just because it looks really cool. I've never played any of those, but I saw that trailer and I was like, oh, that looks fucking awesome.
The first game had a collector edition on the Wii. It came with a little tiny figure of Mickey. And then I think it was Wii remote holder that you put the nunchuck in that was paintbrush shaped.
Yes. Yes. I remember
It was a really cool little edition.
Yeah.
I didn't pay attention to what the new one comes with, though. Jacob, you saw it was what, 200?
The new one? Yeah, it's 200. There's
what comes with it?
A statue. I think it's like statue art cards and like a book or something like that, I think.
I bet that statue looks good, though.
The statue does look good. Like, it's calling to Joe.
Oh, it is calling to me.
You got a link, Joe? Give me a link.
Yeah, I do.
I was about to go look for it.
Hopefully this works. In chat.
Loading your precious image.
Right. Comes with the game. Game steelbook. Lucky Rabbit keychain. Postcards. Costume pack. A tin sign. And the statue of Mickey. Which looks really cool.
Nice.
And it is limited to 5,000. So if you want it, don't sleep on it.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. Dead Rising Deluxe Remaster was announced by Capcom as existing, and we'll get more details soon.
Yay! It looks good.
I'm glad about that, because that's another version of Dead Rising that I don't have to... Or no, sorry. I'm referring to the 360 one, now that the shop is closing, because if they're just going to remake it, I'm just like, yeah, I'm not going to bother like getting the old 360 version now.
Isn't so, it like $1.99?
Yeah, but that's $1.99 I could be spending towards other games that aren't coming back that didn't have a disc release.
Doesn't it have an Xbox One release as well?
It does,
which was a Games with Gold thing. So I've already gotten that remake or HD so it's remaster, the whatever. Second
remake that turns you off of the original.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
You got to go too deep before you say fuck the original.
I feel like that's sexually tilted, and I'm not going to respond.
That is fair.
Fucking yeah!
Frostpunk 2 has been delayed to September 20th.
Okay.
Oh, well.
Final bit of news I have is it looks like Gameloft Toronto has laid off, quote, around 49 people.
Well, that sucks. Expected at this point now, but...
But yeah, that's the news I have. Aki, what have you got?
Grand total of fuck and all.
Bree, what's going on in your neck of the woods?
All right. Microsoft is bringing cloud gaming to Amazon Fire TV sticks.
Ooh.
You'll have to get the 4K stick. They've got two versions of it for $49.99 and $59.99, and it'll be available as early as July.
Wow.
There's more info on the Xbox Wire and on the Amazon page about that. But that's pretty exciting. All you'll need is your Fire Stick and a Bluetooth controller, and it's not limited to Xbox controllers. They, I think, mentioned that you can even use a DualSense controller.
Oh, wow.
and then you just need your login for your Game Pass, and you're good to go.
Connect the Bluetooth-enabled wireless controller. Controllers like the Xbox Wireless Controller, Xbox Adaptive Controller, PlayStation DualSense, or DualShock 4 Controller are all compatible.
Yep.
I love when they just, like, name-drop their opponents on their websites.
Yeah.
Like when Sony has to put, like, get the show on Xbox. That must kill them every time they have to do it.
The Steam Summer Sale is live.
Oh, shit. That's not good.
As of today. So there you go. Lots of things on sale.
Yeah, it's so live that I tried getting to my wish list for over an hour just to see if anything was on sale, and it couldn't load.
Oh, it was like crashing or not loading?
Yeah, it wasn't loading at all anywhere.
Let's see. Dead Drop developers Midnight Society, associated with Dr. Disrespect, have cut ties with the streamer over allegations that resurfaced from years earlier. Hopefully that won't have a lot of impact on the game.
Yeah, I read about that situation, and it looks pretty fucked up.
Yeah, so
I could see why people would like to distance themselves from someone with a name as trustworthy as Dr. Disrespect.
Yeah. And the last bit of news I had was Disney Dreamlight Valley.
I knew he'd make a noise.
I did too. But yeah, Jacob, if you want to take it from there.
So we've got two new characters coming in, Mulan and Mushu from the animated movie Mulan. And a new star path has started as of yesterday. June 26th. What the heck? I don't even remember what the heck it's called.
I don't know.
Something. All right. Yeah, it's something. Anyways, most of it is Mulan themed. However, currently in the premium shop, we do have some interesting stuff. Lead character from Atlantis, his outfit is now available, which, I mean, Rift in Time, there's been a lot of speculation that we're going to see some Atlantis related stuff with it. So I think this is pointing more towards that. Also, Figaro from Pinocchio the cat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he is now purchasable for, like, I think it's like 3,000 moonstones, and I'm just like, fuck, like, why did this thing have to drop, like, as the Xbox
360? How much hard drive space do I have? God.
No, it's not, no, it's not even that. I'm just like, you know, do I want to spend my money on Xbox 360 games that I'm never going to be able to buy again, or do I want Figaro? And I'm like, I kind of want Figaro. Like, it's annoying. But anywho, but yeah, it runs till like, I think July 17th. So you got time. Or sorry, not about Figaro. He pops out of the store in like 5 days. But the start path ends on the 17th.
Hmm. I did have another bit of...
I have enough room to install Disney. I guess we're trying that out tonight.
I didn't know if you'd seen the free cosmetic.
Wait, I thought you had already tried it. I thought you'd already tried it out.
I did try it, but if I could get a cat.
Yeah, but that's like 3,000 moonstones, man. That's like the premium currency. That shit ain't free.
I don't know if I have any moonstones or not. I remember I had some before.
Yeah, but like if you're not going to be like a heavy player on on this game. Why the fuck is that such a funny sentence?
Anyway. You're not going to be a hardcore Disney Dreamlight player. Like, you don't you don't need the Figaro cat skin, man.
Yeah, like, well, I'm just like, there's way better ways to spend $8. Like, if like for a cosmetic.
Now I'm going to buy the cat. I'm not, if I have moonstones in the game already, fuck them.
Well,
they're
yeah,
dead to I me. Mean, well, I'm paying real money for this cat.
Oh my god!
Yeah, and I'm gonna gift it to you.
Free cosmetics as well.
Consumer
horror. Oh yeah, that's right. Because it is Pride Month, so we've got a bunch of new Pride stuff, and of course the last year's codes still work too.
Yes, and so I've got a link here for that, and I'll throw up in the chat.
Splendid, Bree.
Yes, it has the link to last year's as well, so you can get the shirts and then the new stuff this year.
Yeah, which I believe is it's balloon archway accessories. I believe I have
a balloon archway, a balloon bouquet, an ear headband, and a popcorn bucket for Pride Month.
Man, they are going like hardcore on the fucking popcorn bucket things after last Star Path. Why am I a 39-year-old guy who is having in-depth conversations about this? This, oh god, what am I doing with my life?
Bad, bad things.
I mean, I could be addicted to crack, so...
Speaking of bad, bad things, I just saw the Xbox Free Play Days game lineup for this weekend, June 27th through July 1st. Two games are available to play to check out completely free for Game Pass members, Game Pass Ultimate members, Train Sim World 4, pretty cool.
Ooh.
And then the other game, Pac-Man Mega Tunnel Battle Chomp Champs. Maybe they'll fill a game. That's the one that I believe the all-time peak on Steam was like 50-some players. And it's a 64-player game.
Wow.
Yeah. So this one didn't take off that well. Maybe this free weekend will help it out.
Yeah.
Jacob, what other news you got?
That wasn't even my news, man. That was Bree's news.
What was?
Disney Dreamlight Valley.
That was her final thing to lead into you.
Oh.
That was all. That was all premeditated.
Oh.
We talked about it. We knew you would be bitchy. And I'm like, true. Do it.
I would.
Do it. He's going to grumble.
and I did. Whatever. I don't have to answer to you.
Mission accomplished. Success. We got a gold star. Bree, A+.
Hey.
All right. So former Fish Lab devs say that we were supposed to get a... sequel to Red Faction Guerrilla, but Embracer fucked that up.
Yeah,
so
sounds about right.
European video game retailer Game has said that they're going to stop selling physical games other than fulfilling their current pre-orders.
I've seen reports that that is inaccurate.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
I've seen conflicting reports on that, so that's why I didn't mention it this week. Game has apparently denied that they're doing that, so it might be one of those situations like Best Buy removing videos that they're like, oh, no, we're totally not doing it yet.
Okay, then I'm now curious about this. Have you heard anything about GameStop no longer offering replacement plans on the Xbox Elite Series 2 wireless controller?
No.
Okay, well, they're saying it's temporary, quote-unquote. But yeah, for some reason, they're no longer going to offer replacement plans on that thing.
Well, they better honor existing ones, because I've got one. Yeah. And when this fucker breaks, I'm taking it back. Or when it gets close to the 2 years and the rubber's starting to peel, that bitch is going back.
Since the SML podcast are brand ambassadors for Outright Games, today they did announce that the Nick Jr. Party Adventure is going to be coming to PC, Xbox, PlayStation, and Nintendo Switch this October.
That looks really cool. Cute.
Yeah, it has characters from Paw Patrol, Dora, Blue's Clues, and You, Blaze and the Monster Machines, Bubble Guppies, which I'm like, hell yeah, and Santiago of the Seas, because I have young kids, so I'm familiar with all of these shows.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to lie. Gnome. Yeah, yo, that's way old, man. That's like OG Nick
so
Jr.
Am I.
Yeah, that and like Maya the Bee and
Eureka's Castle.
Which had R.L. Stine as a writer. But, what were we talking? Oh, yeah, the Nick Jr. game. But yeah, so that's coming out in October. So excited for that. You covered Forza Horizon 2. Yeah, all right, that's all my news.
Cool. All right. Now what?
Are we done? That would be cool.
Guess reviews. Bree, ready
to... done?
No, Jacob.
Oh.
You will never leave.
I know.
And it'll be specifically because Aki hasn't left yet either. I love the war you two are having about who's leaving last.
I don't think it's a war. I think it's simply that he turns off his phone. It takes a while for the phone for Discord to register. He's left.
Yeah, actually, I mean, sometimes Aki and I do talk about crap after the show. Like, I think we've talked like twice, but you know,
something like that. I'm always the last to leave in any
group
that I'm part of. It's not just here, it's everywhere. In my D&D group, I'm the last to leave. In my Pathfinder group, I'm the last to leave. I'm just always the last to leave. It's just
so you me. Don't know when to leave somebody's house. Got it.
Generally, no.
Review time, huh?
Sure.
I just put on some wet pancake lip balm. I still have one left.
Sweet.
Yep. Nice.
Gotta make another payment on that.
Because
we might be doing it again. first game to talk about tonight is The Elder Scrolls Online Gold Road, developed by ZeniMax Online Studios, published by Bethesda Softworks, released June 18th as DLC for The Elder Scrolls Online for $39.99. Elder Scrolls Online is available for $19.99 and required for any and all DLC. A forgotten Daedric Prince has returned, bringing chaos to Westwild. Explore a new zone and defend the city of Skingrad, first encountered in Oblivion, now beset by a dangerous Daedric cult in the jungles of Valenwood. Customize your skills like never before with the new scribing system and create your own one-of-a-kind playstyle. Bree, you dabbled in this last week. You put some more time into it. What are your thoughts on Gold Road?
All right, well, this week on How to ESO Gold Road Edition, I'm really glad, first and foremost, for the ability to stream this one. I don't always get to stream games that I review. So I could get tips and hints from seasoned players while I relearn all the ins and outs of the game. I had forgotten how to charge my weapon and needed to be reminded to use my experience scrolls while I'm still leveling. New things to do that I got into this week. Gold Road offers some daily quests. There's the Miramor Mosaic Incursion event, boss fights. There's dungeon delve quests. There's two public dungeons, Cylom and... and Left Wheel. I plan to tackle the dungeons this weekend. I just found out I don't have a high enough character currently to do the raids, but we'll see if I can get to that level before next week. There's currently a week-long event running called the Zeal of Zenithar, where you complete crafting and event dailies to get reward boxes. And just like, these are the things that you gotta, you know, get into when you're playing an MMO RPG. Like the daily events and the weekly events and all that fun stuff, just like getting back into the swing of it. I really wanted to focus on the zone story, which by itself has at least 30 hours of story. Each large area is called a zone in the game, and these are stories for each area that you can move through in a series of quests. In Gold Road, when you first reach Skingrad, the town we know from Oblivion, there's an NPC named Laramil the Wise who's been waiting for you because you are the Chosen of Fate. And Himaeus Mora, Daedric Prince of Knowledge, calls upon us to defend the world. Strange things are happening where a once-forgotten Daedric Prince walks, disorder follows, and that's how we will find her. People and things are acting strange, a sure sign that the threads of fate have frayed, and Ithelia, the Daedric Prince of Paths, has been set free. So Paths of Chaos is the first quest we go on to investigate some of these sites and see what information we can glean, like the Valenwood Forest mysteriously expanded and was replaced with the previous terrain. It's called the Dawnwood now. And as I walked through the town of Skingrad, I could hear random townsfolk talking about the events going on, which was a really nice touch. And after helping an Imperial officer find her missing troops and the people they were sent to protect, and helping a Bosmer rescue people affected by a suddenly expanding Dawnwood, we delve into a maze-like ruin of traps, and we eventually meet Ithelia, the Daedric Prince, who is suffering a kind of amnesia. There's this zone enemy called the Recollection, which is working with Dremora and Daedra to bring forces to attack Skingrad. I helped close a portal to beat a large Miramor enemy. This is like all the cool new stuff going on with the zone. And they were also looking for a Wildburn seed for nefarious purposes. I'll explain the Wildburn here in a little bit. And I just want to say, like, the voice acting on all of these characters is so good. There's such a wide variety of character voices with personalities to match, and obviously not every single NPC you run into is going to have all the charm and individualization as, like, the bigger NPCs. Sometimes you're just going to get some monotone voice talking about narrow to the knee, but, like, for the most part, all the NPCs you have to interact with in the main zone stories, like, are really, really good. Lore-wise, Gold Road deals with a lot of Wood Elf and Bosmer culture, given the Himaeus Mora connection as well. I love the description of the Bosmer Green speaking, where they can manipulate the landscape in these small ways, having a kind of conversation with nature, which is not what's happening with the Dawnwood. That's something bigger. The Aeliads are the ancient ancestors of the Bosmer, and that's some of the ruins that we're finding in the area. And they were fond of this Prince of Paths, that Ithelia, that no one has ever heard of before. So we get a new Daedric Prince, basically, out of all this, which is pretty darn cool.
Ooh.
Yeah. The downside for me for some of the story hooks in Gold Road is the assumption that you've played most of the rest of the story. For the most part, all of the story is accessible in any order, but there are a few references that might go over my head. A seasoned player suggested that if you're really trying to keep up with the story, that at least playing Necrom before getting to Gold Road might be beneficial. So I'm going to see if I can't go back this weekend and also get some Necrom in, because I have access to that as well. So just to kind of like fill out the story a little bit more. Let's talk about the biomes. There are some absolutely breathtaking landscapes and beautiful lighting. It's gold colored and autumn, like with all the gold and russet trees around. Seeing the day-night cycle change is a real treat here. It's in some ways it's similar to Gold Coast, for those of you who might be familiar with that. And for a 10-year-old game, it's beautiful, and it has movement, and it feels alive. There's, you know, weather effects and all that stuff in there. It's, like, amazing to me that it's that old of a game. We're still, you know, having all this cool stuff. And then we have the Kelovian Highland Mountain region, the Valenwood. We have the dense jungle-like Dawnwood that sprung up overnight, and then where even the plants are trying to kill you, which is super fun, let me tell you.
Fun. That sounds fun. Yeah.
And most importantly to me right now is the Wildburn, which is this dark, gnarling snarl of dead trees and twisted monsters that separates the Highlands and the Dawnwood right now. And it's just a really neat area to walk through because suddenly everything just gets dark and foreboding. And it's just a really cool area to navigate through when you're going around looking for all your quest locations.
Ooh.
Yeah. Let me take a sip of my drink here real quick.
No, drinks not allowed on the SMO podcast.
Oh, my God.
Take a drink.
Chug, 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 chug.
And then let's talk a little more about scribing. I touched on that last week. This is one of the new big things in the Gold Road. In a nutshell, it's spellcrafting. To get started on the scribing quests, you need to be level 30, and I'm not quite there yet. So I got some outside help to understand the system a little bit better. My hope is by next week I'll be able to participate myself in this, or by the end of this weekend I should be able to, so I can play with it more next week. But as someone who's only a part-time magic dabbler with like self heals and minor buffs, I feel a bit overwhelmed with the possibilities it has to offer. It really feels like this is the part of the game is for hardcore vets. First thing you need to do is the quest Second Era of Scribing, which is available at the Mages Guild in Skidgrad. While the scribing quest to progress is specific to each of your characters, the upgrades you receive are available to all the characters on your account, so you don't necessarily have to redo all of this quest line to get the benefits of the scribing when you're done.
That's
cool. I'm sorry, are you saying scribing, like as yes. in like writing scribing. Or
yeah or as in writing.
Okay, because I wasn't scribing. Sure if it was that or scribing, like that like like that blood magic thing. Okay,
nope.
So already gotcha. Yeah.
All right, so scribing in ESO has three main components: grimoires, scripts, and inks. These are the things that you can get as drops in the world once you get started with the scribing quest line. So the grimoires are like the new skill adding to your existing skill lines. So they're special skills in things like staff, one hand and shield, or soul magic. So these are like add-ons to your basic skills. So like I'm a sword and board user. There's a skill path for me with a grimoire. So then you customize the grimoires with scripts. Each level decides what type of thing you're affecting and how you're doing it. You can slot three scripts into each grimoire, giving it unique effects.
Unique.
Scripts come in three levels: focus scripts, which are the main effect like physical, heal, poison, etc. Signature scripts, which alter the skill's purpose with buffs and effects that like heal over time, snares, damage over time, and more. And finally, affix scripts add on existing buffs and debuffs with extra effect like minor force, major resolve for armor, or minor lifesteal. Sounds complicated, right? It's a whole lot of stuff to take in. And lastly, you need the inks as a resource to craft your intended spells. So right now, like I said, I'm just a sword and shield fighter with my Khajiit, and I'm looking forward to seeing how the scribing can help me customize some of my skills. It's going to take a while for me to figure all that out. Yeah, we'll move on from that for now. I'd also like to say that I love that the game has a large population. I feel like whether it was an old quest or a new quest, I could find players around doing similar quests and delves. And they were helpfully just doing their own thing at the same time. I don't have to talk to them. I don't have to group up with them to survive. People are just doing the same thing in the same area, and we can help each other, you know, as we're there. It's been really well populated everywhere I've been. Everything sort of scales to your level, so you can experience the game in the order you want. It's also easy to do by yourself while you're leveling your character. You can just go in and do your thing. I'm looking forward this weekend to getting to play with some people finally. Because it's easy to get lost on every side quest imaginable. I'm kind of looking forward to like grouping up with some people and arguing over what we're going to do and then get lost anyway. But, you know, we'll figure it out. We'll make someone leader and we'll get some focus in on some quests. And to me, Elder Scrolls Online sometimes feels like an endless Skyrim or Morrowind. Like you've got so many different stories to uncover and enemies to fight and beautiful scenery to explore. And it's beautiful. Some of my adventures this week involve some casual necromancy. You know, just making a flesh atronach is so easy. Any 5-year-old could do it, apparently. But yeah, all that said, I expect to spend my weekend in Tamriel. So I'll be able to give a final verdict next week. I can't speak anymore, apparently.
Cool. Well, I was going to say we'd give you 2 more weeks on it, but if you want to do it next week.
I think I'll be able to give a final verdict next week. Yeah, I think I'll be good for next week.
Sounds good. Any other thoughts on the game before we move on this week?
I'm having a blast. Come join me.
Well, I have it downloaded, so just let me know when.
Yeah, I'll be around this weekend, so I'll hit you up.
Cool. Next game to talk about, Echo Generation Midnight Edition, developed and published by Coco Cucumber, released June 19th on Steam for $24.99. Lead a gang of kids to uncover spooky mysteries, battle creatures, and explore the supernatural side of your hometown in Echo Generation, a turn-based adventure set in the 90s. Aki, tell us about your time with Echo Generation Midnight Edition.
Okay, and this, you kind of create your own character. You have a bunch of pre-selects that you can choose, and then you wake up as that character after you name them, and you're just a kid living in a, we'll call it average town, for lack of a better word for how fucked up this place is. And at first you're like, I just want to go hang out, me and some kids at my school, we're gonna make a movie for class, and yeah, it's gonna be fun, we're just gonna go out and have fun. And then you're like, you go outside and suddenly, you know, raccoons are talking to you and telling you to fuck off and stuff, and you go and you start beating up raccoons. So fucking weird. The combat's all, you know, turn-based, RPG-styled combat. All of your attacks, you have to push buttons for, because they'll have different types of movements. Like, some of them are, you know, you use this move, and click the button when these two things are aligned perfectly, or catch all of this stuff before it hits the ground, or do this rhythm game, basically. If you don't do them right, you do the minimum amount of damage, and you don't get the special effect. If you do them right, you get maximum damage, and the special effect hits the enemy. Whether it sticks or not is, you know, debatable sometimes. You're learning all your special moves, not from leveling up, but instead from finding comic books. You end up getting two main characters, yourself and your little sister, who your mom has told you that you have to bring with you because she doesn't want to sit in the house and continue to watch the children's show that's on, because it's driving her out of her fucking mind. You two also find what you call companions, which are secondary characters who aren't quite as strong as you, but have quite as many attacks available to them, but have special attacks, like maybe they'll heal or something, which neither of your main characters can do. And these tend to be, like, your pet cat is one of them, and it is a fluffy cat, and it also speaks to you. There's also some other ones, but I'm not going to ruin them, because you actually do have to find them in the game. Your father's been missing for a while, so very quickly you get entangled in trying to figure out what happened to him, and how aliens are now suddenly attacking your city. You know, you have giant rats the size of fucking people out there attacking and stuff, and it's like, it's all over the damn place, and like, if it didn't show that all the adults saw this stuff, I would have just assumed that this kid had a very overactive imagination. Because you're fighting ghosts, you're fighting raccoons that can talk, you're talking to everything but birds. Apparently they don't talk, which doesn't make any sense, but all the other animals do. You fight aliens, you fight giant clown monster robot thingies. It's crazy, it's all over the place. It is around 10-ish or so hours long, I think. I think that's how long I put into it. I can't remember anymore. It's pretty
9.9
fun.
9.9 hours, it says. So yeah, you put 10 in.
Yeah, that sounds about right. And I 100% to that bitch, too.
Put another 14 seconds in this game, goddammit.
I can do that. I can do that. I don't mind. There is one kind of problem. you are required to farm experience sometimes, which isn't always very easy to do, because some enemies stop spawning altogether, others do not. But you can just, as far as I'm aware, there is a limit to how much you can level up. I did not hit that by the time I beat the game, but I got pretty far. I think I was like a level 25 or 26 or something like that. And with that, I was able to max out the attack, but there's three different stats. There's hit points, which you, every time you level, you get an extra 5 until you hit the max amount of it, which is, I have no idea. Then there's also physical attack, which you get, I think, plus 2 or 3, something like that, each time you level that up. And then there's also your special gauge, which basically just says, hey, at the start of the fight, you have this many special points that you can use, and special points are used for anything but your main attack. And all of your character's special point amounts add together for how much you have at the start of the battle, and you can refill it by attacking enemies. I think it's 4 or 5 times with basic attacks, and then it'll refill one single point. But by the end, I had maxed out literally, I think, every character's attack. I'd gotten their health way up, and I had a pool of like over 20 special points to use at the beginning of every combat.
So it's not a tough game.
No, it starts off tough, yeah. But it near the end, it's a fucking cakewalk. I think I beat the final boss in like 5 moves, which is 2 turns. So, jeez. Yeah. Well, you also have to worry about money in the game. You have to farm a lot for that, too, because everything costs a lot of money. And by that, I mean it costs like $1 to up to $10 to get different things like healing items. But you get like 20 cents, 25 cents per battle. And so you end up having to farm a lot of money pretty regularly, because some of the other items you can get are like, oh, here's this comic, you need $40 for this or something. Shit's expensive in this game, so it's going to take you a while to farm for that too. So have fun, folks.
So it's accurate.
Yeah, basically. Especially for a kid back in the 90s, I assume. Like that.
Well, anyway, and, speaking of money, the game clocks in at 25. What do you think of it?
I totally think this is worth it. This is a fantastically fun, cute little game. I am so for this.
I loved Riverbond. I love Ravenlock. I have never played Echo Generation. Should I fix that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I would also, if you don't mind me throwing in like one little comment, I loved the music in Echo Generation.
Oh, it was so good, yes.
Yeah. It's poppy and fun and like appropriate to the time and like quirkiness of the game. It was just, it was very good.
Everything about this fit the time that it was supposed to be displaying. It was really good.
Ooh, well, that is installing, so cool.
Yeah, just take a day this weekend and just play it. Just sit down and only play that for an entire day. You'll 100% it.
I'll try. No promises. But anyway, next game to talk about, Local News with Cliff Rock Slide, developed by Horsefly Games and Dolores Entertainment, published by Dolores Entertainment, released June 28th on Series X and S, PS4 and PS5 for $9.99. You're the camera person of Butterfly Valley's number one influencer, Cliff Rock Slide. Frame every shot like you were a professional. Follow the stories to make Cliff famous. Local News with Cliff Rockside is a first-person visual novel with an amazingly funny story to laugh for days. Bree, how many days were you laughing?
Well, it was a mixture of laughter and tears, but we'll get back to that. I just want to reiterate, this is a first-person camera shooting visual novel. And that sounds so weird and hard to explain, but it's really what it is. It is first person and visual novel combined, and it is hilarious. And sometimes it's full of puns. Cliff Rockslide is a lunatic that runs everywhere, and he's the perfect stereotype of a self-absorbed newscaster. The 3D first person animation style art are those like grainy polygonal free assets mixed with awesome character, like pixel art next to the box text. So like it's an interesting mix that kind of goes back and forth. We are the rookie news team member of local news streaming service of Butterfly Valley. We are definitely not Cliff's sidekick, and we aren't getting paid either. Cliff says, I don't care too much for money, and look how far it got me. Just follow my lead, and it could be you running your own news agency from a garage in just a few years. So yeah, we have to learn to operate the camera for our anchor. Purple highlighted objects should be zoomed in on, and green ones are a wide-angle shot. During a breaking news segment, you'll need to read the text to predict where to put the camera next and watch for the highlighted areas and be quick about it. The good news is once you hit the mark, you have as much time as you need to read the text, and because the text only continues when you press like the A button, which is good. So you get the whole story kind of at your pace. But at first, you got to go in and you got to like zoom or get that shot quick. And we have to work hard to increase our subscriber count. We start at 7. Goal is to get to 100 subscribers. Just 100. And that will come naturally through gameplay. You get more subs by doing a good job. Epic reporting is 3 stars. Not terrible is 2 stars. And try harder for 1 star. But this game mechanic seems to have very few consequences if you do poorly. But it's still cool to see epic reporting across your screen with like flames everywhere. Just like whenever the breaking news title card comes up, there's just flames everywhere. And above all, it's about journalism. And we report on everything. Like the camera is constantly running every conversation, whether it's a breaking news segment or not. This little cameraman is just taking in everything on this live stream. And in fact, there are bonus interactions you can do if you explore a little bit more beyond the main story that will give you helpful tips or interactions or raise your view count. Like I found a dog on my way to the first assignment and it brings up a little title card for barking news. And it's just like the breaking news title card, but it's barking news with the flames behind it. It's great. There's like a little pixel dog head. And the audio levels, though, are a bit all over the place. The breaking news at the beginning of a news segment is very sudden and very loud. So when you go in, there are some volume options you might want to fiddle with, for sure. So yeah, our first report is on a giant pumpkin in someone's front yard. I did an okay 1-star job my first time out, and I got 1 whole subscriber.
Sweet.
And then we learn about the local coffee scene, where there's an explosion nearby caused by a barrel being transported to the same from the same farm that provided the fertilizer that made the gigantic pumpkin. Later, we investigate a dog in the woods who ends up being a wolf, and we run for our lives. But the bigger story going on is about gigantic vegetables at the local Beaverton farm and the secrets we can uncover with our journalistic perseverance. And let's not forget about the worshippers of the metric system cult and the zombies and more. Day 3, we get to explore a little more on our own to prescribe locations for news gathering purposes. Day 4 becomes a bit more of an adventure puzzle, and we have to find objects and interact with things as we break in someplace. And the final battle, yes, there's a final battle in this game, was fun and logic-based. So yes, first-person visual novel, final battle. To reiterate, though, like this game is very funny. A bunch of the jokes sometimes are very small town, everyone knows your business and remembers what you did when you were 8 kind of stuff. And other things are surrounding the fact that these characters are all caricatures of what they represent, like the alpha male, the small town police chief with control issues, and the rich snob in town who thinks that they own everything. But on to some of the sort of bad stuff. The game uses an autosave feature, and there are not enough save points. The very first day, you have to get through the whole day to be able to get a save. And the second day is the same thing. And the third day is the same thing. And the fourth day, you got a couple more things like that save at the end of some major transaction or transition areas where you have a chance where you could fail at something. But it was particularly hard because I had to restart several parts of the game because something glitched. And then when that first happened to me, I had to restart the whole game over, and I had to do that twice. Eventually, though, I deleted my save data and everything, and it worked just fine. Then that could have been that it was a pre-launch patch, could have been glitchy. It worked great after that. I only ran into like 1 or 2 small issues later on down the road, and I was able to get through the game and had a blast with it. So Spelling and spacing issues with the text were noticeable, but not game breaking or anything. Just there were some issues that they needed to fix in the text. And at the end of the credits, it says there's plans for a sequel, and I'm telling you, I would actually play that. So, I like the idea of the game. The humor was great. The story was wild. The glitches were not great, but I'd still say play it.
Well, it's a $10 package. What is your official verdict?
I'm going to say buy it.
Very cool. All right. Next up, Times and Galaxy, developed by Copy Chase Games, published by Fellow Traveler, released June 21st on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS5, and PC for $19.99. Embark on an interplanetary adventure as the first robo-reporter for the Times and Galaxy, solar system's most trusted holopaper. You're just an intern, but if you can get the scoop, write great stories, and impress your colleagues, maybe you'll get to keep your job. Jacob, what's going on in Times and Galaxy?
So Times and Galaxy, the simplest way to put it, as I messaged Joe at like 4 a.m. On one of the earliest days that I was playing it, it is cozy Mass Effect. All right, so imagine that you took all of, like, you just only took the conversations out of Mass Effect, no action, no universal ending stuff, and it's just you getting to know other people. Boom. That's what we have.
Nice.
So in this game, you are the known universe's first reporter bot, and you're making, and you get put on this ship that is actually like an intergalactic newspaper. You get to meet your other coworkers, learn what they're into, what they do for the paper, what their interests are. They start showing you the ropes, and you'll be given these articles that you're supposed to write. And so sometimes it's like you get to choose what subject you get to cover. Like, there might be a political rally or there's a cat show going on. Which one do you want to do? something like that. And you will get to try out different types of articles. Like, one of them is going to like a cultural event. Another one is going doing some court reporting, stuff like that. And as you come back from each case, you have to file your article, and you can decide how the article plays out. Is it going to be sensational, like sensationalism? Is it going to be informational? Is it going to be of alien interest, where you just mostly focus on the non-human aspects of it? And your articles get rated at the end of each mission. And it also puts you on some sort of like a sliding scale, but I couldn't really figure out what, like, how that really affected anything other than like some dialogue potentially, and also achievements. Like, if you I had one that where I heavily focus on alien interest, but there's also achievements for, you know, just doing nothing but information and sensationalism, respectively. But yeah, and then at the when you come back onto the ship, you go talk to your fellow coworkers, investigate other stuff around the ship, because I mean, the ship is it's more or less alive. Not only with your coworkers, but like there's repair bots, and also there's just random stuff like a pile of goop that just keeps somehow reappearing in the engineering bay. But yeah, and then it's off to the next assignment, which does seem to branch, as I'd mentioned before, which apparently, according to the Steam bug page for it, the developers have acknowledged that, like, a lot can go wrong in a game that branches as much as this one does, and so they're kind of playing whack-a-mole with some of it right now. But yeah, like, it's a really fun and great game. I mean, it's, as I said, it's cozy Mass Effect. And so it's just like, you know, I'm getting to know everybody and like, you know, oh yeah, like that sports game sounds great. Like, or the cafeteria bot, she wants to go actually eat like at a Michelin restaurant. you know, so you get to like have actual relationships with these people. And of course, you know, you can flirt with them, so you could have actual relationships with some of them. Although I don't know actually how far that goes. I never really got much beyond flirting. There are some issues with the game as is, although the developer has said that they are aware of these issues, and they are the issues that I'm actually going to bring up are the ones that they acknowledge, like, yeah, we know about this, we're actively working to fix it. So currently the game does sometimes crash just randomly, especially when you're next to like desks or stuff like that. For some reason, I've had a few instances where I'm right next to the front desk receptionist's desk, and for whatever reason, my Xbox just beep back to the main screen for it.
Weird.
And yeah, and then there's also currently an issue with the ending of the game. So I had max reputation and max readership going. Everything's looking great. Everybody loves me. And I get the bad ending. Like, you know,
that's son.
Yeah, honestly, I was just like, you know, is this damn, this is a really heavy ending for this thing. Is this commentary on the state of newspapers? And it turns out, no, it's actually just there's an issue with the ending right now that they're working hard to fix. So aside from the bugs, which, as I said, they're looking to fix anyway, I had an absolute blast with this thing. It was just, like, it's a nice, relaxing game. I'm really glad that, like, honestly, I'm really glad that I requested this one, and, like, because if, like, halfway through, I felt like halfway through the game, I was just like, you know, this is the kind of stuff Aki and Bree usually get to review, and for some reason nobody else requested it, and I was like, ah, ha, 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 I got one that's story heavy and delightful. But anyway,
well, it's $20. What's your verdict?
Absolutely, this is so far one of my favorites of this summer. I'm glad I checked it out, and I really think everyone else should too.
Sounds good. Next game, Last Night of Winter, developed by Xeon Digital, published by Red Art Games. My cat's knocking shit over, and I'm going to continue anyway. Released June 28th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5 for $9.99. Wake up and walk, Warden, because because the siege continues, we must find the heir and finally put an end to this cursed night. Bree, what is going on in the Last Night of Winter?
So yeah, we've died and woken up a skeleton, and we have a kind of amnesia, according to a talking owl. And this huge battle has been going on, and skeletal people are awakening, so the battle continues. If we're going to end this siege, it's going to have to be tonight. And the owl gives us a bell and tells us it's a soul catalyst that is bound to us. And it turns out we don't use it as a bell. It's a kind of light sword, and the bell is just the handle. But we're the Warden, a skeleton with a scarf, and it's our mission to end the curse. The owl acts as a kind of guide to let you know if you're on the right track. After the tutorial section, I didn't see the owl anymore, and I got very lost for a while where I was supposed to go or what I was supposed to be doing, which I suppose is also something that felt familiar from Dark Souls, which I'm going to talk about here in a moment. I got past the main dungeon areas and the area boss, and then I got the keys to leave to the next area, and I could not make sense of the next area where I was supposed to go. And so ultimately I ended up exploring as much as I could until, before I ran out of health, I went back to the fountain, which is your save point, for a bit. And then that helped me collect coins, which was good when I eventually found a blacksmith to upgrade my weapon. And the blacksmith had a skeletal dog you can pet for an achievement. Yay, you can pet the dog.
Yay.
He's a blacksmith of souls, so he can upgrade our weapon. I eventually explored enough that the owl came back and directed me to an elevator that will take me to the top of the tower where the heir is to end this whole thing, but we don't have permission. And so we have to go explore more to go find permission. And that starts the rest of the quest. In the town sections outside the stronghold, we explore and we meet interesting cast of characters while we search for the means to end our curse by getting to the heir. And all these characters we meet, like us, have woken up with some purpose we can help them realize and uncover their secrets. It has good pixel art. It has good audio. The start screen is like a music box violin waltz going on. There's good ambient audio in the dungeon. There's some metal for our first big boss fight. Decent music throughout. There are three difficulties and auto-aim options. I totally went for easy to focus on the story. Combat was still a little challenging, even on easy. Exploration is a big part of the game. It has areas locked behind skills and items. There's even some minor puzzle elements later on to explore some areas. And I want to say that there's a lot of Souls-like elements in this game. So the fountains are our fires. On the controller, there are similarities, like our normal attack is right bumper, focus attack is right trigger. Your stamina bar matters a lot for normal attacks, but your special attack uses concentration, which you can recharge. Dodge is super important, but you don't have to worry about fat rolling. You have a health flask from the fountains. In fact, sometimes the bosses use flasks as well. Once you save at the fountain, all the enemies come back. So if you go explore an area, and this is what I did to kind of... There's not like a formal leveling system in the early stages. It's just like you get better items as you explore more, and you can upgrade them with the blacksmith and that sort of thing. But you do need to kind of grind for cash so you can do that sort of stuff. And you've got to explore the area and find all the things. So I totally lost my place in my notes.
That's fine.
Yeah. But yeah, you save at the fountain. You get your health flask to fill up. It's really helpful. Yay. On easy, you can die and fall a lot and get back up, which is really helpful. You do need your dodge to platform with as well. So besides it being super important in combat, you'll find yourself needing to use the dodge to get onto moving platforms, disappearing platforms, and other kind of jumping across gaps and things like that. There are glittering items on skeletons to collect. Some that haven't awoken, basically, are littered all over the place. You find these corpses. It's a really cool world. There are things like colored seeds that up our stats temporarily, fading power that acts like a homeward bone to return you to the last place you rested. I'm just comparing this to Dark Souls because this game felt like a cute Souls-like game. You have limited inventory space for 8 items or stacks of items individually. Eventually you gain access to a coffer so you can store more stuff for later in a tavern, which is like more than double your inventory space, which is really nice. There is no map, which makes exploration challenging at times, but neither did the original Dark Souls, and that's kind of, I think, some of the shtick here. Like, it really had...
If people want to hear more on our thoughts on maps, go to the last episode. Check out the Draconic Resurgence review.
I'll have to check that out. But yeah, basically this game was like chill pixel Souls-like, and I liked it. It was like all the benefits without the it's hard on purpose. You know, it had all the other good stuff about it and some familiar things. So yeah, if you like the idea of a Souls-like RPG that isn't necessarily about being hard, although you have the opportunity to have it be harder, I would say this is pretty good.
Well, it clocks in at $9.99. I need a verdict.
That is a fabulous price. I'd say buy it.
Cool. All right. Well, Bree, that is it for you. Sorry we kept you late again.
Oh, that's okay.
What you doing tonight?
I am going to jump on seas and... grind some stuff.
Get your plunder on.
Yeah, it's I've got about 5 weeks left in the season before the new big Flameheart ship thing shows up. And I kind of like to do my plunder pass, and I'm a little behind for once. I haven't been playing as much Seas because I've been playing things like Elder Scrolls Online.
Whoops.
I know, right? So just trying to work on some Sea of Thieves, you know, grind there and... yeah.
All right. Well, we will let you get going. Do you have any final words before you go play Skull and Bones?
No matter how nice the hand soap smells, you probably shouldn't leave the restroom smelling your fingers.
That's good advice.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. You guys have a great night.
Bye. See you. Next game, Tavern Talk, developed and published by Gentle Troll Entertainment, released June 20th on Steam for $17.99, a cozy visual novel about running a tavern in a D&D-inspired fantasy. Gather rumors, serve magical drinks, and meet adventurers on a life-changing quest. Hockey, tell us about your time with Tavern Talk.
Okay, so have you ever heard of Coffee Talk, anyone? Anyone at all? Yes?
Nope.
Okay, this is the D&D version of it. In this, you play as the innkeeper, no name included. And basically, people come here and they look for quests. They talk to you a little bit, which you can sometimes have options of how to interact with them back. And then they order drinks. Unlike Coffee Talk, you know what they're trying to order because you actually get an order number instead of being vague like, oh, I want something sweet but milky, and then you have to figure out
what to make. That's what bothered me about that game, is just fucking tell me what you want.
Yeah, in this one, they're like, I want something that focuses on strength, and all of your drinks come with a focus. So you'll see, you know, you'll write an order and for a strength, it'll be like a sword and there'll be three dots next to it. Wanna know what that means? Something super strong with just strength. Let's do this. And then you pick the one that does that, which there's only one that does that. It's very nice. Or you can do what I keep purposely doing and you fuck up every order on purpose just to see what happens at the end of the game. Because there are multiple endings for this.
You're doing that now, aren't you? Don't lie, because I could see Steam, and it says you're now playing this. You're fucking with customers live on the show, aren't you?
I have been since the show started, yes.
Well, after dark, I guess.
Yeah. But... you start off with five drinks, and they have different stats that they raise different amounts. Most of them focus on one specific stat. And you can mix them and use magic to turn them into a proper drink. If you screw up, you can feed it to your little pet dragon, which is adorable. And you serve it up to them. You can serve up the wrong ones or the right ones as you desire. There are achievements for serving all of the drinks. That's why I started just fucking with them, but just because I could. And I was like, well, I don't want to feed them this, because this is the second time in a row that someone's ordered the same drink, so fuck them. While they talk, they'll also give you hints and bits of information that you can actually turn into quests later on via your quest board that the same people will come and be like, ooh, I'll take this quest, and then go off and go do it. You can't make... How do I say this? Different bits of information combine to make a singular thing. However, you can't use those same bits of information to create a different one. They all go together to create a specific one, and you can only make that one with that information, period, ever. So, you every playthrough, you're going to end up with the exact same quests. Because you can't mix and match parts to create unique quests for each playthrough. Yeah. However, you can also decide what to give them to drink to help them with this, or, as is my case, to fuck with them. Because I want to just see what the absolute worst end is first, just because it amuses me, because I'm a terrible person. Every individual in here, they have their own personality. Like, the very first one that's in there is a regular, and it's a ranger elf who lives out in the forest and is the most neurotic fucking mess I think I've ever goddamn seen. She's scared of everything, anxious about everything. Like, I'm shocked she leaves her tree hole or wherever the fuck she sleeps. I'm shocked she leaves it. She's so paranoid about everything. Then there's, you know, you meet a vampire who has memory issues. Like, they'll repeat the same thing like four or five times in a row because they've forgotten. And it just, everyone's a little weird little fucker, and I love these characters. My favorite one is Carolyn, which is a big buff beast woman who's just no nonsense, and she very quickly starts to warm up to you and starts actually giving you information about her life, and it's kind of adorable. And yeah, it's just a really fun, really sweet little game, and it's a lot easier than Coffee Talk because you're not really guessing. It does add some complexity because as you continue the game, you do unlock new brews that you can make, as well as infusions that you can put in them, which basically say, hey, this not only gives you strength or whatever, but it also makes you slightly immune to fire or something with the infusion. And you unlock more infusions as you play through the game as well. But yeah, it's a fairly simple game, thankfully, because everything that people want is much more obvious. Because they're like, oh, I'm about to fight a dragon. I need something. I need to be stronger to do this. And whatever infusion you think will help. Well, it's a dragon. They breathe what? Fire. So maybe make them a little bit fucking fireproof. There you go. You've just made the perfect drink
for them.
Well,
now you're spoiling the game for people. So let's talk price. The game clocks in at $17.99. If you buy it before July 4th, you could get it for $16.19. If you're on the fence, there's a demo for it on Steam. Which way should people go on this one?
Play the demo, fall in love, and then buy it.
Fair enough. Any other thoughts?
This is a fantastic game, and I'm going to be playing this until I 100% it.
Cool. Next game to talk about, Primal Survivors, developed by Old School Vibes, published by Aphil Games, released June 20th on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, PS5, and Windows Store for $4.99. Are you prepared for the craziest adventure of all time? Meet Primal Survivors, a survival game filled with unique and bizarre creatures. Jacob, tell us about your time with Primal Survivors.
So Primal Survivor has you as this young caveman, cave person, whatever you want to call them, warrior, who is just trying to, I mean, there's really no set plot. I mean, like, Vampire Survivors didn't really tell you what's going on either. But I don't know if it's just like this Mastodon is terrorizing everyone, or you just want to kill it. I'm not sure which, but it's just, you're running around for a certain amount of time. You have to kill a bunch of stuff. You level up your character by gaining experience after killing these different monsters, which then unlocks all of these different powers that you can use. So unlike Vampire Survivors, you can... It's like the powers that you can make. It's not like, you have this and this. You can, you know, and you can combine them into like this weird, like third thing. This one, it's just you start having skill trees that your powers follow. So, like, let's say that you know you have like an ice power. Well, now, like, you can choose whether you want to be able to shoot like a thing of ice every 1 second, or create like an ice shield or something like that. I mean, there is no ice shield. At least I haven't stumbled on it yet. But yeah. And then you also have this, like animal spirit that resides within you. And, if you kill so many of the monsters, then it'll do something. I always went with the wolf spirit, because that one honestly just seemed the best of the two. And that was, you would just do the sword slash, after killing 20, I think it was like 25, monsters. And yeah. All right. So much like Vampire Survivors, you can also upgrade, different powers, which will become permanent. This one, again, goes with kind of like a skill tree kind of thing, and you can only choose two powers out of each level. So it gets kind of interesting. At first, I was like, this is a pain in the ass. I don't understand why it's doing this. But it really makes you consider which powers you're going to go with, and how you can somehow stack everything to benefit you. And it ended up being a much deeper game than I thought it was going to be. I'm not going to lie. When I first played this game, I bitched to Joe and I was just like, cause we were talking about the podcast and I'd mentioned like, oh yeah, like this one's going to be easy, blah, 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 blah. Like I can knock out this review. I'm not going to lie. I wanted to not like this game and I can't stop playing it now.
You got suckered in by a fun game, you dumb bitch.
Like, does it seem like a cheap retro knockoff of Vampire Survivors? Yeah, at first. And then, like, if you give it, like, two or three runs, all of a sudden, like, you'll have upgraded enough stuff, like, to make the permanent upgrades, and you're like, oh, this game doesn't actually suck. It's fine, and it actually has depth. Damn it. But yeah, like,
if you look at the store page, one of the bosses in the game is a friggin' mammoth.
Yeah, like, he's your final boss.
That's a hard, like, how are you going to take down a mammoth?
So what you end up having to do is, I mean, as I said, like, you have to upgrade your stuff. So there's tons of powers that you can use.
Just
so
using it as a selling point. You didn't have to actually answer me.
Oh, okay. I mean, because the thing is that, like, this game, eventually, as you keep playing more and more, you're unlocking more stuff. And so I got to really be able to tinker with different ideas of, like, how to take down that freaking mammoth, because it is a pain in the ass. Hit detection with him does not always seem... it's hard to figure out where exactly you are going to get hit by him instead of you hitting him, if that makes sense.
No.
It's a huge sprite, and it's just, like, it's hard to figure out where the game is going to consider you, like, out of his reach. But anyway, so, like, one of the things I ended up doing is I have this bone that you can, like, toss, and I guess it comes back like a boomerang. I don't know. Either that or else I'm just throwing shitloads of bones at everyone. Anyway, you can do it so you actually throw two of them at a time for a hit of, like, 25% of your attack power, but it's totally friggin' worth it, because if you're stacking, like, poison and fire, and also, like, this wind one, and then, you know, expanding all those fire and poison ones as well, like, you know, making them even more powerful, like, forget that 25% of your attack power. You didn't friggin' need it. You're tossing two of these damn bones at a time, and you're poisoning the shit out of that mammoth. I took him down right quick, and I was like, all right, this is satisfying as hell. Like,
nice.
So yeah, so a game that I was originally going, I'm not gonna lie, after my first playthrough I was like, yo, fuck this game, and now I'm just like, yeah, this is a definite buy it.
Cool, works for me. I think it's a solid game as well. I think the $5 asking price is perfectly acceptable.
I wish there was more monsters in it. And
monster,
like, also
types,
I guess. It's just, oh yeah, yeah,
I think the screen types fills, yeah, up, yeah, fairly well enough.
Yeah, I'm sorry, yeah, you're right, monster types, but also, like, some sort of a map function, like, if there is supposed to actually be, like, random crap that you can find, or if it's just like, if it's just repeating screen. I don't know. I'd like to know which one it is, and if there is actually supposed to be hidden shit, I'd like a map.
Found a shrine the one time.
A shrine? What
caused
the fuck?
An earthquake that followed me around for like 10 seconds.
All right, so this thing needs a friggin' map. I've not run into any kind of shrine.
No.
Was that on the curse thing?
No. It was just standard.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Suck it, yeah, nerd. I'm better than you. No.
Yeah, we need a map in this game, but yeah.
Right, $5, official verdict.
Yes, absolutely. Okay.
Next up, Garten of Banban 1 through 4, developed by Euphoric Brothers, published by Feardemic, released June 25th on Xbox, with 1 as a free demo, parts 2 and 3 priced at $4.99, part 4 at $9.99, a bundle of all 4s available for $17.99. Banban's Kindergarten, which had a special place in every kid's heart, was once the go-to kindergarten for any parent who needed their children to attend a reputable learning facility. Thanks to Banban and Friends Gang, the establishment's mascots, you could never be lonely at Banban's. This was the case until everybody within the place suddenly vanished on a seemingly normal day. Now you and your trusty drone must explore the establishment and find out what happened. Are you really lonely there? Even now, Aki, what is Garten of Banban?
Okay, so, how do I explain this? So you play as seemingly a parent looking for their kids in this abandoned kindergarten, apparently. I didn't realize that's what it was supposed to be. And this is basically a slight puzzle game mixed with a bunch of walking and running and dying a lot. And yeah, you're going around trying to find them. You occasionally find bits of lore in just little pieces of paper you can pick up. They don't really explain anything in too much detail, but gives you some hints. And occasionally you eventually come across some of the mascots of this place, and they're not very nice. Oh yeah, they're alive too. Have fun running and dying some more, and then a little bit more, and then some more, because that's what's going to happen. It's really hard to have much to talk about with this, because every game is just start at point A and get through until the game ends. There's not really a lot of story in this at all.
Well, let's start with the first one, because the first one is a free demo. How long is it?
About 10 minutes.
10 minutes. That's, wow. That, now I see why it's free. What happens in the demo?
You enter the building and you find your little drone thing. You power it up, you walk through, you see some notes on the ground, and then you feed this giant plushie of this weird, ugly-ass bird thing some eggs that you go searching around for in this room. Then it comes to life and tries to peck you to death. So you run away, and once you get away, the game ends.
Interesting.
Yeah. Where,
I guess part two picks up immediately there?
Yes, all of them pick up immediately after the prior game, basically.
I'm guessing you beat the four parts, right?
Yes. In total, all four of these combined takes less than 3 hours.
Wow. How long are parts two and three?
Two, I think, was around 30-ish minutes, I believe. And then three and four were both an hour long apiece-ish.
I guess there's not much we could really talk about story-wise. Does part four have a resolution? Or
no.
Is it just straight ending and we gotta wait for them to finish the rest of the parts, I guess?
Yes. On PC, there are at least 7 parts available, maybe 8, I'm not sure. And I think the series is still being made even now beyond that. So we're going to be waiting for a good long while. I don't know if they're planning on porting all of these to Xbox. However, I was somewhat familiar with these games before I got them, because there's a lot of hidden lore and stuff in the game if you play it on PC, and lots of game theorist channels on YouTube have entire collections of videos about this stuff, including the game theorist. And
Thimber saying this game is pretty hype with the kids right now, so you youngins out there listening to the podcast, we have a game for you to listen to tonight.
Yeah, I think this would probably work for little kids, because the gameplay is extremely basic. However, parents will probably have to help them through a lot of the more timed bits. Nothing actually has, like, time limits, but there's often, like, something's chasing you, and you kind of have to get things done right, or you're going to die. So parents will probably have to help kids with that, and this does
We probably shouldn't say that you die, you just get captured, because this is geared more towards kids. There are no gruesome deaths or anything like this. It's an E10 rated series, so it's not, like, hyper-violent or anything. There's, I guess, kidnappings.
I'm pretty sure you actually die when they catch you.
Okay.
And so, if you read the lore, so
your head gets ripped off in grisly fashion.
No, it doesn't show you dying, but it is very clear you do die. However, if you read any of the lore bits, it's some pretty horrific stuff. I would not let your kids read most of them.
Oh, jeez.
Because they're talking, because the whole thing is they're talking about kidnapping people, especially kids, and that is what they turned into the mascots and stuff, was human experimentation and stuff. So I would not let the kids read that. The story is not really children friendly. The gameplay is, though. Which is, well, makes it very confusing to suggest to people, because, like, adults, I don't think they're really going to jive with the gameplay. The kids shouldn't have anything to do with this story at all. it is horrifically bad for kids. So I don't know who they're pushing this for.
I don't know, but let's talk pricing. Part one is a free demo. Is it worth diving into the free demo?
Yeah, go ahead and play it, see if you like it. I have a feeling many of you probably won't, but go ahead and try it, at the very least.
If you're enjoying it, parts 2 and 3 are $5 each. Your thoughts on that?
How to say this? I personally did not particularly like the games all that much. There was a lot of BS deaths that are just, oh, hey, Here's three options. We're not going to tell you what any of them are. Just pick one. Oh, you picked that one? Oh, that sucks. You're dead. Now you have to restart this entire sequence all over again. And you have to do that a whole bunch. So I personally don't suggest buying them unless you really, really like that demo, like, a super lot. Because otherwise it's going to make you mad. When I played, none of the achievements were live. I don't actually know what any of the achievements are right now, even. Give me just a moment, and I will chickity check on that. Because I have a feeling one of these is going to be like, beat the game without dying, and I'm going to tell you, the hell with that. Okay, let's see here. Achievements. Collecting all the drone hats, that's something that you get. I didn't realize they actually went on the drone. You can collect like 5 or 6 of them in each one. Reading all the notes, not hard. Completing the game, not hard. And basically do this section all without dying. Yeah, fuck that ain't gonna happen. Good luck to anyone who tries that. I'm not going to, because I know that's not gonna fucking happen. There's a whole bunch of achievements for just playing through the game, some for not dying during different sections where you're going to die in unless you memorize it, and then for collectibles. So it's not gonna be most of these aren't going to be particularly hard. Some of them are going to be a big pain in the ass, though. But most of them should be generally okay.
I don't see anything that says without dying.
Doing things in correct orders and things like that. If you do it in the wrong order, usually things kill you.
Oh, all right.
Stuff like that. It's not actually saying do it without dying. It's just implying you have to get it 100% correct. No. And therefore, that means you don't die. so, yeah. Yeah, it's most of these aren't going to be too hard, and if you play it a whole bunch of times, you can probably get through the entire thing without dying, realistically speaking. It's just, your first playthrough, it isn't going to happen. It'll probably take 2 or 3, and I just don't know if anyone's going to enjoy the game enough to do that.
Well, we'll skip over part 4. Let's just talk the full bundle. It's $17.99. Give us an official verdict on Garten of Banban 1 through 4.
If you really, really, really like that demo, or you've played it on Steam and you're like, yes, I want to play it here too, then go for it. If you don't like the demo, you're really not going to like the rest of these, so I would avoid it at that point. So this is a very tentative try it.
All right. Final game to talk about tonight, Glyphs of Gitxan, developed by Double Mizzly and East Asia Soft, published by East Asia Soft, released June 19th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $4.99. Glyphs of Gitxan is a block-sliding puzzle adventure spanning 50 unique stages of increasing complexity. Can you unlock all the secrets of Gitxan? Jacob, tell us about Glyphs of Gitxan.
So Glyphs of Gitxan is very similar to another game that we've reviewed on this podcast before, Reactor X. Whereas that one's a sci-fi one, this is more of like Indiana Jones-esque. And what you have to do is there are these little columns that you have to push around the map in order to power up all of the glyphs that are written in on the floors. And the game started, sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself on this. The columns, when they're actually powered up, they will show directional arrows showing how they'll manage, like what kind of glyph tiles they will power up. And so, like, let's say that there is a left arrow and a down arrow lit on this one column. That will light up any, pretty much any of the glyphs. If you put it on like a certain column, it'll light up a single row to the left and a single row down. So there are some puzzles where you have to figure out how you can get multiple lines all in a large area to get them all lit up. So at first it starts off pretty easy. There are traps that get introduced, like spikes and stuff like that. They are kind of hard to see, and the game does have a small hint system occasionally trying to explain how certain things work. And while the traps are sometimes hard to see and it's a pain in the butt, it's not like it's game over or anything like that. The game just like zaps you back from an initial starting point, but anything that you've moved still remains. And so, like, I mean, if you can get past like the small like character sizes and occasionally hard to see traps, it's not a bad game. Like, I thought it was entertaining, and it's pretty calm and relaxing. I like it.
I mean, it looks in the game.
It looks pretty. So,
good pixel art in the game.
Yeah, I liked it. Small, but I liked it.
Quaint.
Quaint.
Well, it clocks in at a whopping $4.99. What are your thoughts on Glyphs of Gitxan?
Yeah, it's worth the $5. It's entertaining enough. It's a decent puzzle game.
Well, beans. All right, we're done. That is it for tonight. Thank you, yay, everyone, for hanging out and keeping us company on this episode. Music for the show. What are we going to play?
Megas.
Is that just your go-to every time?
Yeah, kinda.
All right, here's the Megas.
Which one are you playing?
I don't fucking know. I'm going to listen to them and pick one. Oh, I'm not going to do that live on the show.
Well, I don't know. I mean, like, I didn't know if, like, you already had one, like, in your head and stuff. I don't know.
I have a memory like that. I don't remember all the Megas songs. It's been years since I've listened to the Megas.
You should do their Quickman song. I really like that. The Quick in the Blue. That one's really good.
All right, Megas, Quick Man. We'll do that. That's coming up. How's that sound?
Yay! Does that make you happy? It does.
Go fuck your son.
I love you, Joe.
No, you don't. Aki, do you have any final words, or are we just going to let Jacob ramble about this bullshit?
Go ahead and let him ramble, because it's not like he's going to shut up anyways.
Yeah, I will, because if you end the episode, then I just hop off my phone and then I don't talk to either of you fucks for a week. I mean, Joe and I text sometimes, but usually it's like me trying to lift up my gut flap so I can take a dick pic, and then he's just like, why is that your toe? And then I cry.
What they said is a lie.